You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog. You are the man now, dog.
Shalom and aloha, and welcome to the Man Dog Pod. It's the Improv and Conversation Podcast with me, Dan Lippert, and my co-host. He's back. He's got a beautiful new nose. He's listened to those big sniffs, Ryan Rosenberg. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, Dan and everybody, and thank you for the wonderful intro. I appreciate that.
Thanks for the wonderful sniff. It was nice to hear it fresh.
Yeah, that was a full volume sniff. I got full usage of my nose. It's still healing a little bit, but the airways are wide open.
They're wide open. Mm. Your sinuses have been cleared out. You're going to sleep on your back. You might not ever snore again.
Oh, I guarantee. Well, I don't guarantee it, but I hope so.
It is the first nose job I've seen that's visually identical to your original nose.
Right.
Changed
right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, I told him, you know, I don't want to go too crazy. I want to go under the knife, but I don't want to make too big of a change. You know, if you can take off a centimeter, that's fine. But I wish they would have just cut it flat on the end. That would have been very funny.
Like a sphinx.
Yeah.
Like Voldemort.
Well, yeah, that would be the whole end, cutting the whole end off, I guess. But.
Voldenberg? I don't know.
Do not say it.
Well, folks, those other voices you're hearing are our guests of the week. We're very excited to have each of them back. We love them both. Dhruv Singh. Hi, Dhruv.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Rose.
Hi
other guests.
Other unnamed guest.
And go, Dhruv, introduce him. Go for
it. Go ahead, Dhruv. You're great at that.
Should I introduce him? All right. Yeah. You know him. You love him. He's the man of the year. He's coming in hot with some brand new lips, some brand new filler, little bit of a tuck, little bit of a buck. My man, the one, the only, not Peter Banifaz, but Greg Gallant.
Thank you. Thank you. I wish more intros would specify that I'm not Peter, because I and come Greg- in and they're like, let's hear your Serpico. And I'm like, I don't really do Serpico. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, let's hear some of your Iranian dad stuff.
Oh, shit. Oh, now that I got in space, baby.
Great intro, Dhruv. Thanks. We'll give you a little percentage of the intro fee for that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I do want to say, Greg, all your surgeries look fantastic. The tuck, thanks. Especially. I can't even tell what they got rid of, but there's a lot different.
Something got tucked. And this isn't exactly a tuck. It's a fryer tuck, right?
So if I take my hat off, you'll see that the hair is all gone from the top and it's only around the side.
I wish.
We all wish.
Greg making a big new acting choice. Cast him tomorrow as Friar Tuck or anybody that looks like that.
Yeah, it's really, you know, nowadays you gotta pigeonhole yourself. You really gotta be niche. Absolutely. And specific. And I guess that they already did a Robin Hood a couple of years ago, so I might be shit out of luck for another 10 years, but they'll do another one.
You know, there's always a Robin Hood commercial around the corner, maybe like taking Sprite from the rich and giving it to the poor. It feels like it's very hip for commercials to take what the conversation is on Twitter, you know?
Yeah, my only concern is that Friar Tuck is a bigger guy, and maybe the getting the tummy tuck in concert with the Friar Tuck.
Well, feel maybe it.
I should have gone maybe the other way.
I think you could be like a healthy new version called Air Friar Tuck.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got like a big turkey leg, but it's only fried in a little bit of oil. Grape seed oil, so that's healthier.
The whole,
and all you need is a spray.
Yeah.
I do think we could pitch like an MTV Hot Friar Tuck spinoff show called Air Friar Tuck.
Yeah.
MTV Food Network together.
Yeah. And this Friar Tuck fucks, okay? Friar fucks.
It's like the Young Pope. We'll get the Young Pope people to do it.
I
actually don't remember Friar Tuck's context at all in Robin Hood, other than what he looks like. I don't know if he's good or bad. I don't know.
I think he's good. I think he's good. A good guy.
What animal?
He's one of the merry men, right?
He's one of the merry men. Mm-hmm.
I think.
Not to be confused with the Shakespearean improv short form troupe at USC, the Merry Men.
Oh, I'm sure so many people were like, wait, are they talking about a thing almost only Dan knows? Or
Dhruv maybe could have known about it. Dhruv could have known about it.
Nah, I wasn't dialed into the improv scene at USC at all. Yeah.
Too busy.
Sadly.
Too busy.
I forgot you guys.
Too busy fucking, bro. Too busy fire fucking.
Yeah.
Too busy fucking. Well, good for you.
We promised in our last week's episode that we would talk a little spooky, a little Halloween, and then we didn't almost at all. So we got to get a little creepy today. This is coming out on the 22nd, so inching towards it. Are you guys? Tis the season for you? How do we feel about Halloween? I'm in that zone where I'm trying to get spooky, but I don't really like gory movies, and I don't really want to be anxious. So it really like limits what you can watch.
That's tough.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was a great Halloween movie from last year was Hubie Halloween, because it's comedic, but it's fun. In the world of Halloween spooky. You know what I mean? It's not quite scary.
Yeah.
So that kind of works for me in that way. Because I also am the same way. I don't want to watch like torture porn, or I would just want to watch a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, I think I don't really seek horror movies out, but I typically like them. I live with my girlfriend, and she can get very affected by horror movies. Like we watched Us a couple of years ago. And she had to keep like watching late night interviews of Lupita Nyong'o to be like, she's just an actress. She's a, you know. We had to, every time we watch a horror movie, Brody has to like look for the blooper reel, like see if there's a blooper reel to really cut the edge off.
But, that's smart though. That's a good coping mechanism.
Was there an Us blooper reel of her just trying the voice a few times and everybody like trying to play it straight?
Yeah, that's close.
I wonder with stuff like that, like how much, like, is Jordan Peele showing up on set day one and being like, I hope Lupita's creepy voice is good.
Yeah,
like,
I wonder.
Or like anytime someone plays Batman, like I just saw the trailer with Robert Pattinson doing the Batman voice, and like the first time he spoke in the trailer, I had to rewind and put on subtitles because I think he says, like, what have you done? And I was like, what the fuck did he just
say? Oh, they're sticking with the unintelligible Batman?
I guess.
The thing that everyone hated from the last ones?
What is that? Like, why is that? When did that become the thing? Like, Batman has to have a weird voice?
Christian Bale, it makes sense because it's already such a joke that, like, why don't people realize it's Bruce Wayne, the most famous guy in town?
I can see most of his face. He's got all these rich guy toys.
Yeah.
The Batmobile is pulling out of Wayne Manor.
Yeah. It's just, it's like, imagine making a choice where you have to do, like, vocal fry for every time you're in character. Yeah. That's so painful.
I remember
when you do that.
And then Tom Hardy's like, I have to go even weirder as Bane.
But then at the same time, they are, like, mixing the sound crazy. That makes it harder, too. Maybe they're like, this choice will be cool as long as people can hear me. And it's like, no, it's not going to happen, dude.
Sorry, dude.
Didn't like Dark Knight Rises come out and then they like tweaked the audio afterwards because everyone was like, we can't understand Bane. I feel like there was some audio mixing drama.
I remember going to that. I think it was they showed it the first 7 minutes before Mission Impossible in IMAX. And I remember going to that like where they kidnapped the plane or whatever. And not understanding a word of the whole thing, but also being like, oh, that was a cool stunt.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah, it was like they leaked that first scene, and then before the movie came out, they ADR'd or something.
To your question, Greg, I heard a story that Paul Thomas Anderson, when Daniel Day-Lewis first called him and he was like, here's the voice I'm thinking for Daniel Plainview. He was like, oh no, we might be totally fucked. Like, you left the voicemail and was like doing that, like, drink your juice voice.
This is Daniel, and I'm leaving you a voicemail with my thoughts on the voice.
This is how a real man would talk.
I'm an oil man.
It is so weird because those movies feel so big. I wonder what they would be like with, like, not really a choice, like just regular acting. You know what I mean? I wonder how crazy that would feel as well. Of like, what are they doing? Do something. You know what I mean?
It's like a mumblecore Batman.
Yeah, just kind of chatting it up.
Oh, we're gonna fix it in post. It's fine. Just be regular.
Paul. PTA, if I can call you that. I've got some thoughts on the Daniel Plainview character that I'm gonna do. I'm obviously so famous for all the method stuff and getting into it. I've sort of been getting into it and I don't know. I just wanted to bounce it off you. So can we? Is that okay?
Absolutely. I've honestly been waiting for this. You know what I mean? I have some thoughts, but I want to let you do your process. So why don't you go with what you have and we'll just sort of workshop it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Hey guys, it's me, Daniel Plainview. I'm an oil man. This is my son and partner, HW, and we're here to drill some oil from your town. And
can I just stop you real quick? I love it. I love the casualness. The cadence sounds like you're leaving a voicemail. It sounds like you're expecting nobody's listening to you and you're just sort of getting through a list.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess that's kind of what I thought for the character, which is that he cares so little about these townspeople. He doesn't, really give a shit about them, that it's almost like all his conversations are one-sided,
That's cool. That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to hear any more?
Please.
It'd be great if we could drill for some oil. Let me know. I'm around most of the day tomorrow. You should be able to get at me. I think we can all make a lot of money off this oil. And my son and partner HW is a cute kid. You guys can hang out with him or whatever.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's because it's what I was just doing, but it really sounds like you're rolling calls in your car. It just sounds like you're occupied with something else and I don't know, should be free all tomorrow. I just don't.
Oh, okay.
I guess what I was thinking, and again, this is of course, maybe we're before the movie, so not my place, but I was thinking with a little bit more intensity, a little bit more sure of what he's saying.
Sure.
And a little bit more like if you don't like what I have to say, fuck off. Rather than, I don't care if anybody's listening.
Well, let me try that. I mean, look, I feel like I have this weird reputation of being like really controlling and not being collaborative. And I don't know where that comes from. That's bullshit. So I'm going to take your note.
Okay.
I'm going to take your note. More intense, not giving a shit.
Right? Beautiful. All right? Beautiful.
I'll do it from the top here. Hello, I'm Daniel Plainview and I'm an oil man. This is my son and partner, HW. I'd like to drill for oil in your town, and we can all become big. God damn it, sorry. Some guy just cut me off. Jerk. Okay, sorry.
I love the intonation. I love beep.
Sorry, I had to back up for a second.
Are you in a big truck?
I think if we drill for oil in this town, we'll all be very rich. So please get back to me. I'm free from 2:30 to 4 today. And if you call, I'll pick up.
This is so close. This is really great. I love this.
Okay, so we're getting closer.
Yes, I love the intonation. I love where you're going with it. And, I said feel free to make it your own. But I just feel like he's not going to be on the phone. I just want you to know that we don't have phones. Everybody has to talk face-to-face.
Cool. And is he in a car or no?
Well, no, he might be in like a trailer at best, or like a, I don't know what you would call it, sort of a carriage, But yeah, we're not gonna have a lot of cars.
Hey guys, I before we start rolling, I just want to say I'm such a huge fan, Daniel. I know we've talked before and whatever, and I know you guys have worked a lot on your character. And I know that today we're starting on day one with like a pretty intense scene. So I just wanted to, for me, it makes me feel a little better to get out there that I'm a little nervous. But I'm also excited to collaborate, and I just want to put a lot of work into this character. And
Paul, we are so excited to have you. I think when I thought of a young actor who could bring the same intensity as Daniel, I thought Paul Dano.
Thank you.
And I know that that's you.
I'm
sorry we haven't had more rehearsal chances, you know, really excited to see what you're bringing.
It's the business. I mean, we both had a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah. Loved Little Miss Sunshine, by the way. Loved
Yes. it. Oh, great movie. When you have your little freak out and you talk for the first time. Oh, so good. I mean, okay. Have you been in another movie at this point?
Yeah. I kind of got my start in Girl Next Door. I don't know if you guys saw that movie.
Actually, I really loved the couple episodes of The Sopranos that you did.
Thank you.
Daniel Day-Lewis, big Sopranos
fan. One of AJ's
friends.
Yeah, we throw some parties together. And
I actually skipped through everything else and just watched the AJ scenes.
I just
watched the AJ storyline. So in that version of the show, you're a pretty big part.
Wow, thank you. Wow.
Wow.
Paul, it's your movie. I was a little surprised that you would start with the climactic scene, but I'm excited to shoot it.
Great. I think, you know, let's just shoot the rehearsal. Let's see what we get, and then I'll just know you guys from there. I really want you guys to feel raw.
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. Robert Eiler also loved to shoot the rehearsal. Yeah. So when we were on set,
the actor who played AJ Soprano.
That's right. Yeah. I thought that was a fun little tidbit. I don't know.
Do you think I could get an autograph from him?
From Robert?
Yeah.
From him.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could
maybe
talk.
Both you guys. Maybe,
to be
maybe
honest,
you too,
this
Paul.
Is not what I expected meeting Daniel Day Lewis was going to be like.
I love AJ Soprano. Talk.
But yeah, I'll try my best. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to go sit in the chair by the monitor, and why don't you guys just take it whenever you're ready? Let's roll camera. Let's roll sound.
Well, Eli, what can I do for you, my friend?
Well, it's Eli, and I just wanted to ping you back because I heard from you earlier. Looks like we almost missed each other again, but just wanted to check in about the church. And see if you were interested in maybe considering the Word of God one more time.
Oh, you know what, Eli? I'm actually getting another call here. Sorry. Would you mind holding for a moment?
You little fuck.
Hey,
okay,
Daddy.
Let's cut there. Let's cut there. I'm really excited for the next line. Nobody's on the phone. Just want to clarify, nobody's on the phone. You guys are in person.
Who said, hey, Daddy, then?
Well, that was me. Your son. I play your son.
All right, let's roll again.
Son, what can I do for you, son?
Hey, Daddy.
Oh, EW.
You can save.
You can speak again. Good.
Yes, I can finally speak again. The punishment of God has lifted. And I just want you to know, Daddy, you could save thousands on auto insurance by switching to me. Are you talking to the wrong people about your bills? Consider calling me, and I will save you a lot. You have been issued an arrest warrant.
Okay, is this a telemarketer or a commercial for phones? Phones aren't around yet. Right? Am I crazy?
So should we be responding to you, or should we stay in the moment? I didn't hear a cut.
I apologize. Let's keep rolling and respond to me as the scene goes on.
Okay. My character is being cut off by a Nissan Sentra right now, and so that's
no, it's
just
not.
Sort of the headspace
that's not going to play
I'm
on
in.
The screen because there's no.
Okay.
Can we get a Sentra in here? Is this a movie set or just a fuck around?
I guess we. No, you're right. I should be more collaborative. Let's get the Sentra in here.
I mean, there's a man on this set who has worked with Eiler. And yet I still feel like we're just having fucking baby town frolics, all right? Let's just get a little serious, okay?
I'm sorry. What if the movie was like that? You know?
I feel like it would have maybe won a few more Oscars.
Fans, reshoot There Will Be Blood with characters like that and tweet at us.
Yes. Tweet the final fucking feature film at all.
2.5 hours.
I drive your Sentra.
I drive it up.
I saw a Q&A when that movie came out with PTA and Daniel Day-Lewis, and they were talking about how they, going into the movie, thought they were making two totally different things. Like, wow. I guess Daniel Day-Lewis thought they were making, like, a blockbuster, and PTA was like, no, this is like a tiny indie film or whatever. And they were like, wow. We both have to do both, I guess, or something. But PTA was saying, like, I was kind of terrified. I was like, did he read the script?
It's crazy how much that happened. Like, the other piece of media we talked about there, I read a thing on The Sopranos one time that David Chase, like, thought of it. I mean, it is a comedic show, but, like, he thought of it much more comedic. He said that he pictured Tony Soprano as a Homer Simpson-esque character. And then when they're filming the pilot, there's a scene where Christopher has been, like, writing his movie and Tony's pissed at him. And I think Tony is supposed to, like, slap him a little bit, but Gandolfini instead, like, picked up Michael Imperioli by the shirt and, like, pinned him against the wall and is, like, so much physically bigger than him that everyone on set got scared, and David Chase was like, yeah, maybe Tony should be a scary guy. And it's like, how the fuck?
Right.
You look like, it's crazy how much, like, change. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like what became this phenomenon wasn't what he thought it was going into. Crazy.
I wonder how many projects are like that, where it's like, well, here's what I imagine, and then you make it, and it's just something totally different than what was sold, or, you know what I mean? Like, it must be everything, right? It must be like, well, here's what I dreamed, but once 100 other people got involved, obviously it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the exceptions are so small. The exceptions are like the Coen brothers or something, you know, where they seem to have a very strong vision right off, and they can get... They don't get no. They have final cut on shit, so it just ends up being what they wanted. But probably almost it. My favorite like version of that is when scenes or like full movies or full shows where one actor is in a different movie than all the other actors. Like one actor didn't get the performance note that they're doing it a certain way. You know what I mean? There's
it's
like
Tilda Swinton. Usually, it's usually Tilda Swinton.
I fucking love that because it sticks out like a sore thumb. Some character is in a fucking SNL sketch and everyone else is trying to play.
It's probably like why I could never be a director, or I would have to figure this out if I ever wanted to, is I wouldn't want to hurt someone's feelings and be like, hey, you were way off there. And so I would do the worst thing and let them publicly look terrible instead of like be very helpful and be like, hey, just so you know, no one else is doing what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's so weird because the whole thing is like being able to trust your instincts. And like, what's the difference between Javier Bardem putting on a bowl cut wig and doing that character and trusting his instincts, like, and someone totally whiffing and doing the same thing, you know?
What if he brought that wig? He was like, no, this is how he's going to look.
Part of me thinks he might have based on his hair in every movie he's in.
Yeah.
He cut his hair. Apparently, he did cut his hair to be like that. And it was at the Coens' request. And he he didn't want to say it, but he told Josh Brolin, right, who's in that movie, about it. And Josh Brolin revealed it at this conference where he was like, Javier Bardem came to me on the first day and was like, I'm not going to get laid for 4 months, man.
But after everybody sees the movie, they'll definitely want to see it. After I'm the scariest murderer of the last 10 years.
Yeah, this fucking psychopath.
I guess it is pretty smart of them to be like, this guy is like so hot and so smooth. You have to kind of believe that there's something off about him, so he has to have this haircut.
Yeah, otherwise he wouldn't become a killer, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he'd just he'd be fine.
We need to convey...
Yeah, he'd just fuck and he'd be fine.
Yeah, we need to convey that he's an incel without using dialogue or story. Oh, we've got the perfect haircut.
What if we give him a little girl's haircut?
Yeah. And you tell him to do an accent that doesn't exist.
Yeah. You have to be so confident to make such a huge choice like that, to be like, oh, I'm definitely going to make 5 more movies. Like,
yeah,
this is a choice that could get me panned for life, but if I do a bunch of them, I'll just look like a really adventurous actor.
I kind of love it. I mean, there was this movie, Triple Nine, like 5 years ago. It was fine, but Kate Winslet was like the big bad in it, and she did this Russian accent, and I fucking loved it. And then, like, every review I read was like, Kate Winslet's Russian accent is fucking terrible. It's the worst thing ever. And I was like, I don't know. I thought it was fun.
Right.
That's funny too, because when I hear real Russians speak, I'm like, I think they're doing the accent wrong. It is such an it can be such an odd accent because it is like so boldly different than what we're used to hearing. I feel like,
because we're
used to hearing Americans do it right. Like, almost all media is not actual Russian actors.
That's why they did in Chernobyl. They just, I think the guy was like, Americans doing Russian accents sounds bad, so for Chernobyl, we're just going to pretend everyone is British. And I watched like 3 episodes and was so confused. And I was Googling like, was Chernobyl in England? Was Chernobyl in Russia, but run exclusively by British expats? Like, it made me question the history, because they should have put like a disclaimer that was like, "Hey, we made this choice. You're gonna think you're crazy."
Right.
It also is like, I think that's a great example of none of it matters. As long as you're making the same choice throughout, it doesn't matter, because it's like, there's this like revered thing for like, you have to tell the story right. And they were like, no, there's just too many actors who can't do the accent right, so we're just going to make it British. And it's like, so what? We can just do that with anything?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's a funny one to change the history on, though. Yeah. So many people were affected in a real life horrific way.
Russian specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless we have some accent scenes. Anyone want to do accents?
Not really. I mean, I could talk a little bit more about spooky season.
Oh yeah,
we gotta get spooky.
That's right. I'm going to a haunted house experience on maybe like next week or something called Delusion. Do you guys know about this?
Yeah. I've done it a previous year. It's spooky. That's a good one.
Scary.
At least when I went, maybe it's changed, but when I went, it was a lot of like Blumhouse, I think it was Blumhouse then doing it or someone like that. So all the people doing it are like professional stunt people from horror movies. Mm. So they are fucking like, I don't want to spoil anything, but they're doing, you know, Hollywood level stunts and shit on you, cool. But in real life around you. So they fucking frighten you. Like they get at you. Whew. And I thought that it was a cool setup too. When I did it, I don't know, it might be changing. I was like a tiny house. Not far from USC, Dan, because I remember that neighborhood, like an old kind of Victorian-y looking actual old ass, like 100-year-old plus house. And you know, they take you on this little tour through it with a small group. And it's spooky. It's like, yeah, it's good. It's a good setup.
I'm pretty scared. Like, that is definitely not my whole life I've avoided being scared because I always kind of am. And so I'm like, I can have fun at this for sure. But I'm definitely a little bit like, who's going to support me while I'm here?
Yeah. My most memorable haunted house experience was a couple of years ago. We went with a big group to the haunted hayride. What is it called? The haunted hayride? Is that it? Yeah. Which for anyone listening not in LA is this like, you know, hayride up in the hills in Griffith Park, kind of. And one of the attractions there, not the hayride, is a corn maze, right? Where you go through a darkened corn maze, but there are like kind of little ghouls jumping out at you or whatever. But every group, it's completely dark and every group has a flashlight. So you are, one person is kind of navigating with a flashlight. And at one point, we like turned a corner and turned the flashlight on it and saw this like couple making out. We thought, oh, okay, this is part of like the thing. This is a... maybe those are, we couldn't, you know, you couldn't really tell, but they look like civilian clothes. I kept walking, later landed on it, and this girl was giving the dude a blowjob, like in a corner of a corn maze. And it was just a couple getting freaky, like just going into this corn maze, fucking around.
Oh my God.
There is this cultural connection between horror and horniness. So, like, I feel like that was like a bro-y young man thing of like, take her to a scary movie, dude, and then she wants to hold your hand. Like, there's a link. There's some link there.
Yeah. They just took it to the next level there.
Yeah.
Also,
I wonder if they got super scared, like mid blowjob. Someone came up and scared them, and they're like, oh, "I thought I was horny."
And when I get scared, I bite down.
Yeah. or do you think there's any chance that it was part of the horror thing, and it was just supposed to be a really scary bad blowjob, like?
They shouldn't be together. Social norms on these people.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
You get the setup on the way in that like these people have an on again off again history, and it's not healthy when they're hooking up. Right. You're horrified by that.
Just a haunted house with really specific modern terrors.
Oh, lovely. Well, folks, every once in a while, we do some voicemails from our listeners. If you ever want to call in and leave a voicemail of a true story, 30 seconds to a minute long, we'll do scenes inspired by it. The number's 818-465-8656. Leave a voicemail. We'll do a scene. That's the story. I'm going to play one right now. I'm going to share my screen.
Hey, guys. Ari from Boston here again. Another quick story. So I used to work a night job, and one night on my way home, it was 2 a.m., I was driving home on Sturrow Drive. I don't know if you're familiar with Boston roads at all, but it's a two-lane, pretty fast road that kind of goes around through Boston. And speed limit of 40, I believe. And I was going home, and I think I was going like probably 50. And then I see headlights coming from the opposite direction, and I thought, okay, yeah, it's a two lane. They're just on the other side of the road. And then it gets closer, and they're on the same side of the road as me. They're just on the other lane, but they're going like 65 miles an hour. Like right at me, and I mean it was one of the scariest things in my life. And I you know, they pass me. I keep going about like 300 feet behind me though. Like before I saw this car, there's a police officer just doing a speed trap on my side of the road, and I'm thinking, well, what is the police officer gonna do? Is he gonna drive in the opposite direction on the highway or the road to catch this guy, or is he just going to sit there and say, well, I can't break the rules? And I it's one of the scariest things, and I still think about it whenever I'm on that road. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Ari.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I am not familiar with Boston roads at all, but that was a good description.
All right. So I am Officer Rhodes of the Boston Police Department. We're starting this press conference at 5 p.m. to answer some questions about the bank robbery. The first thing I want to make absolutely clear is on social media, we're getting pretty torn apart about taking a while to start chasing the car. And I want to reiterate that we don't break the law as police. The car was going on the wrong side of the road. And I assure you, we had our whole team trying to figure out how to chase the car without going against traffic. So I just want to make that very clear up top, and I will start taking questions from the media.
Hi there, James. James Smith from the Boston Baked Bean. I was wondering, I don't think it's breaking the law if you have your lights on. Can't you just turn on your lights and people will know to get out of the way to stay safe?
Well, even with the lights on, that does not make us lawless individuals. We still have to, you know, stop at red lights. We still have to go the speed limit, which is another big thing. Yes, we never caught the escaped bank robbers. because they were going 45 in a 30. So we did as best we could. They ran a few reds that we couldn't run, and we're sorry for that, but we are looking as safely and legally as possible.
This is James McClendon with the New England Hash Brown. You seem to say that it's just about following the laws, but also during the chase, you stopped multiple times to say hello to people out of the laws of courtesy, which seems like those are unnecessary things, to stop and wave to an old lady on the street, say good morning and things like that.
Thank you, James. That's a fantastic question. We follow more than just the laws of the land, if you will, the laws created by the city, the state. We do follow the laws of common courtesy. So, you see, it would be absolutely rude, and I know who exactly you're talking for, that's Officer McMillan, who happened to see his third-grade teacher. If you saw your third-grade teacher in the store, wouldn't it be rude to just walk by and not say hello to him or her? Okay, I'm hearing a lot of agreement here. I do want to move on. Oh, yes, moving on. Another question.
Yeah, Michael Carter, Boston Strangler. I did see some leaked cell phone footage. I don't know if you guys saw this, but you weren't able to catch them. But there was a point where the bank robbers got into a car accident and you were able to catch up with them. And someone has posted cell phone footage of what looks like your officers asking the bank robbers politely to put handcuffs on themselves. Instead of like tackling them or holding them down or you know, forcibly detaining them.
Right.
Did you have a comment on
that? So what's the question? Why didn't we hurt a stranger? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was illegal. It's illegal to hurt a stranger just as much as I wouldn't want you tackling me right here or tackling James from the hash brown or James from the baked bean. Okay. Now, I know the Strangler has had it out for the police department for nigh on decades. Okay. But we are doing our best here, and they wouldn't put the handcuffs on. They wouldn't consent. We believe in consent here. So we said, well, what can we do?
That does lead me to a further question. Sorry, the James McClendon again from the New England Hash Brown. We have had the Boston Strangler in the room for many years now, confessing that he is the Boston Strangler before asking questions, yet you guys have never taken him in.
Well, what we tried. We tried our absolute damnedest, all right? We all got him to put the handcuffs on once, but then he wouldn't get in our car with us. What are we going to do? Shove a stranger into our car? I don't know what you want at the hash brown, but Mr. Strangler, I mean, if he is not strangling in front of me, there's nothing I can do. You understand?
He's strangling the baked bean.
That's against the law. Sir, that is against the law. Sir,
what are you going to do about it?
Please.
What are you going to do?
Please. It's really sucky. Please stop doing this. This sucks.
All right. Jesus.
That was horrible policing. This is James from the Baked Bean, and I am writing an op-ed about how the police are do-nothing losers. Oh. You need to participate in keeping society safe, or else why do we pay you? Defund the police! They don't do anything!
Not do-nothing losers. I just talked the Boston Strangler, one of the most sought-after killers of all time, to stop strangling you. And I didn't break the law. I didn't use force. Now, sir, you did strangle a man against his will. That is against the law. So I'm going to have to ask you to put these handcuffs on.
And I'm going to have to say no.
Okay, fair enough. Affair's fair.
That can't be it! Please, hey, now you're giving him a cookie? What is this?
Keep it up, buddy. You want another strangling?
No, the police are here. You can't. And I'm going to fight you this time. I'm not just going to stand there.
That was very ineffectual on your part. You're much bigger and stronger.
Fight me.
Gentlemen, I have to respectfully ask you to stop breaking the law.
All right.
Okay.
What do you mean, gentlemen? I'm getting choked. It's not me breaking any laws. I'm asking for help.
Oh, you're breaking the law of just common cowardice. I mean, fight back.
I should have taken it like a man.
Okay.
God.
Now, I feel like things have gotten a little out of control, as they do here in our press briefings. And I want to bring this back to the issue at hand. We have four criminals at large who have robbed the bank. Two of them have absconded with my house. And we are doing...
And yeah, again, I did see the leaked cell phone footage of you helping to remove your house from its foundation and put it on one of those oversized load trucks.
Hey, Strangler, I really hate you for what's going on between us personally, but your reporting is amazing. I gotta say.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Okay. I try hard.
You really got your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, I strangled my way into... Oh, that's fun. Do you care if I use that?
Oh, and your pieces? No, not at all. Attribution would be great.
Person. Yeah, okay. Well, all right.
Ugh, my neck hurts bad.
All right, well, if you do not attribute that joke to him, you are breaking the laws of copyright. So if you do that...
I'm being the bad art friend.
You're being a really bad art friend. Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't want that.
So, all right, fellas. I feel like we have accomplished about what we're going to get here. I want to speak to the leaking of footage. It's illegal to leak footage of me doing stuff. You got to stop it. All right. You can't just film a guy. You can't just film a guy. Okay. Especially.
We cut to some of this leaked footage.
I'll take a double quarter pounder. And do you do pancakes right now?
I'm sorry, sir. We can't do pancakes at Burger King. We don't have pancakes.
Okay, but you'll do the quarter pounder at least?
The double quarter pounder sounds good, yeah.
Hey, I'll suck your dick.
We got back.
Is this about the pancake dick thing? Is that what you're talking about?
See.
Wow, a lot of that going on in town.
Yeah, a lot of that.
People really love their pancakes.
Horny town.
People really love their fast food pancakes.
Horror and hunger are the keys to horniness. You know, mm-hmm. The three H's.
Triple H.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Triple H.
Mm-hmm. Undertaker. Name and wrestlers.
I saw an Undertaker special on Netflix the other day, like the WWE.
Stand up?
I wish. It was lay down. He was in the casket, but he was doing jokes. Yeah.
And he has some thoughts on trans people.
This motherfucker. He actually probably would. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Don't listen to the Undertaker's personal thoughts.
How's the special?
I didn't watch it. It seemed crazy to me. I was like, who is looking for an Undertaker net? It was just weird. It was like, what is this?
I mean, somebody that is like 15 feet away from me right now. Wrestling is huge. It has such a huge following. It is like probably one of the most popular live sports right now.
That feels like something you had to, like, I feel like I just kind of missed the boat on that. It feels like something you had to start. It's like, it feels like being a Jedi or something. Like if you don't do it by the time you're 13, you're too old and it can only, I had a lot of friends in middle school that were into WWE and stuff. And I think I wasn't allowed. And by the time I would have been allowed to watch it, I was like, this is silly.
Yeah.
But I feel like if I had gotten into it, I could have become like a big wrestling head, but it's too late. Mm-hmm.
This is such...
I don't know how I fell out of it, but I feel kind of glad. Like, when I was a kid, I had the little, whatever you call them, like action figures that you could elbow drop and stuff, and those were really cool, and I went one year for, like, my birthday, but then I just never stuck with it for whatever reason.
What this briefly made me think of, this is a pretty annoying point that is probably for a stand-up special that'll be bad that I'll never do. But when Greg called it WWE when you were in middle school, it's funny that like people will be like so up in arms about the idea of like gender identity or like someone changing their name or like, so what do I call them now or whatever? And it's like, We call WWF WWE now really easily. It's really easy to just do. It just made me think of that. That it just like became the lexicon.
I saw one of those like people owning themselves on Twitter posts the other day. That was like a guy who's like, I'm not going to use they and them to refer to one person. All right. It's a plural noun. It doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. And someone was like, so what would you call a person if you couldn't tell if it was male or female? How would you address them? And the guy's like, I would go off what they look like. And someone's like, they.
You already do it by accident.
You did
it's
it.
It's when you're thinking about it that you refuse to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I can't imagine. I'm trying to think of like a belief I have that I'm so set in that if the whole world was like, hey, it's changing, that I'd be like, I just can't do it. Because I'm pretty malleable, even just as like, because I want to be liked. So even if someone will say something in front of me, I'll be like, all right, I believe that.
What if it's like the slippery slope argument they always use, like on the hard right? It's always like, well, what if they say pedophilia is fine? You know, like Hollywood is a bunch of like that. That's always their thing. Mm-hmm. If that happened, though, which it, I don't think, but would you want to be liked so much that you'd be like, yeah, that's cool.
You have to respect these pedophiles.
No, yeah, I guess I believe pretty strongly that pedophilia is wrong. if I was in
there.
That Twilight Zone world, yeah.
That was why when they made those documentaries about the, what was that cult with Keith Raniere, the documentary?
Nexium.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one that was like produced by the Nexium people was laid out like, it all sounded so good and it was all about helping people and blah, blah, blah. We had no idea until we were in too deep. And then you watch the other one, and it's like right away Keith Raniere is giving his little fucking TED talk on how pedophilia is okay. And I'm like, oh, you guys left that out of yours.
Right.
He's like, in ancient Greece, children had adult sexual mentors, and everyone was cool with it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know why that's been taken out of society for 2,000 years. We don't know.
Pedophilia scene.
Hey guys, thanks for coming. Thank you for coming to the Dan Lippert Comedy Hour. Great to be here. So, you guys remember WWE? Changed from WWF.
Woo!
Yeah. Some wrestling fans at the old UCB Franklin. Nice. You know, it's funny how that changed, right? WWE from WWF.
Yeah, what the hell?
We see somebody just stand up and walk, like lean down and kind of walk to the exit.
Shit, I'm losing you guys. Okay, remember this. Remember how the Cadbury cream egg used to be pretty big, right?
Woo!
The one year. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. A couple of Cadbury fans at the old UCB Franklin. And then next year, got a little smaller. Remember that? That changed, right? That changed.
Yeah, what the hell?
Well, you got to go the other way. That's the bathroom. The other way is the exit.
Shit. Sorry.
Huh?
Excuse me. Sorry.
No, it's
hello?
So.
No, I'm not really doing anything right now.
Hey, sir. Look, I know you're Daniel Day-Lewis, man. You're in the audience, but you're just not being on the phone right now.
Sorry. I just wanted to let you guys know I'm an oil man. I think if I could drill in your town, that'd be great. Hit me back whenever you can.
Hey, shut up, bro. Shut up, bro. Some of us are trying to watch the show.
All right. I just came here to see the Undertaker special, which is next. But I guess I have to sit through this guy, Dan Lippert.
Woo! Yeah!
I'm opening for him, so...
I carry on, sir.
All right. Well, there was once a thing called Pepsi Ice. Or what is it? Pepsi Clear Pepsi, right?
Woo!
That went away. My point is, I'm trying to make a point, okay?
Yeah.
That society changes and everyone accepts it. So why is everyone against this whole premise of pedophilia?
That ain't bad. I am a fan. I, Dan Lippert, I will stand by this forever, that in ancient Greece, people did it.
Other times, what the hell?
We see a couple people in the audience looking up to see if he's getting the light, but he's not.
Now, what I want to talk about a little more is the way things stay the same despite changing. You guys ever notice that? Huh? Take my wife, please. Now, a lot of jokes come from a place of truth, right?
Flush.
Close the door when you go to the bathroom, dude. Leave the door open.
No.
What do you mean no? Just close the door.
I mean, you're taking the shit
on
stage.
You guys excited for Undertaker?
I'm not. What's that?
You guys... Oh, sorry. I was just talking to my friends in the audience. You guys excited for Undertaker?
Yeah, man. It's going to be great. I heard that he does the whole thing from a coffin, which is funny. Oh, it doesn't really make sense because an Undertaker wouldn't be in a coffin. They'd be putting someone in one. But
that's the vibe. That's
the
vibe.
Yeah, the vibe is funeral theme for sure. Yeah.
Oh, you're I'm gonna go buy some a little merch. Excited.
Oh, Paul Bearer is here. Paul Bearer is going to make an appearance.
I'm bombing. Win them over. Win them over, Dan. Use some. We're gonna do, fuck.
Hey, Dan, do you still want me to be taping this?
I got to get better, man. I got to look at footage and see how I'm doing.
Maybe try some crowd work. I think you've considered that before. Yeah.
All right. Hey, any fans of Man Dog Pod out here? Any fans? Any fans? Huh? Okay, hey, buddy, what's up? What's your name?
Hey, my name is Sean. I'm a big fan of Man Dog. That's why I came.
Nice. What do you do, Sean?
Your crowd work was trying to find a fan?
I mean, it's to get a friendly crowd member on my side.
I'm actually a pedophile investigator for the FBI.
Oh, fuck.
What the hell?
I'm really curious about this one guy in the audience, to be honest. I feel like you should crowd work him more than me. I'm just kind of a boring guy who catches pedophiles, but this guy seems to feel strongly about every single thing.
Right, you're right. Hey, strong feeling, sir. How you doing?
Woo, yeah!
Okay, well, what's your name?
I don't know if I should say it.
Okay, shit.
Glenn, it's Glenn. Yeah.
Huh. Okay, Glenn. Seem to have a lot of ornery opinions about things. How do you feel about politics these days, huh? Biden.
Oh, God, what the hell?
What do you feel about social media?
Oh, God, what the hell?
We cut to the Today Show. So as a lot of you know, a new stand-up special is making the rounds, and we've got a new star breaking onto the screen in the comedy world. Everyone give it up and welcome Glenn, the audience member from the Dan Lippert special. Glenn, some of your takes have taken the nation by storm. Give us one. Just give us an opinion on something.
God, what the hell?
Oh, he did it. He said it. His catchphrase.
Woo.
Hey there, it's 2 a.m. and welcome back to the Byron Allen Show. We got Jeff Ross.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Good, Jeff.
Hey, fucking look at your face.
Ouch, roasted again.
Yeah, woo!
Now, Glenn, I'm told recently you had issues installing a refrigerator.
Oh, God, what the hell? Yeah, the plug. Oh, what the hell? Uh-huh.
And Carrot Top, is it true that you fly sometimes?
Yeah, it's kind of like, hand me that box of tissues, please.
Oh, God, what the hell?
Oh, hey, buddy, I didn't interrupt your act, okay? We're both pros here, okay? We're both pros who got inexplicably jacked. Let's have a little respect.
Welcome back to What the Hell. On last week's episode, Glenn walked in on his family being a little annoying. How's Glenn going to deal with it this week with special guest Barry Bostwick?
Who is Barry Bostwick?
I'm Barry Bostwick.
Oh, God, what the hell?
All right, scene.
Had to call back that famous Lipton tea commercial.
Look it up, folks. Everybody knows the Barry Bostwick Lipton tea commercial.
I know Barry Bostwick from Spin City, right?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, I'm trying to picture him.
Well,
you're probably close.
I know you guys.
Yeah, he's like the aloof boss with white hair.
Yeah.
I know you came on the show to do some improv, but thanks for letting me just play the tape from my last stand-up show at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to it.
You know, I think it's going to find some sort of audience. I can't tell you exactly what or what they like, but there will be listeners.
Paul Bearer had a nice time, I remember.
Yeah.
What if you looked out into the crowd and Paul Bearer was there? We're almost done, but I do have a question. Do you guys have, can you think of like the most specifically odd person that someone was like, hey, they're in the audience tonight? I'm trying to think of one. Probably Al Franken. We did a show once and Al Franken was in the crowd.
I just had a really serendipitous one where Julian Edelman from the Patriots was in the front row at UCB. And the only, I'm a football fan, but I definitely wouldn't have recognized Julian Edelman. But that day, I had been house sitting for someone and they had cable. So I was just like watching ESPN in the middle of the day, like I hadn't done since I was a kid. And there was like an E60, half hour special on Julian Edelman that afternoon that I watched. It was interesting. He was like a quarterback in college and he made the change. And then I walked out on stage a few hours later and he's in the front row. And I looked it up and it was like him and James White that summer were like living on Beechwood. They lived in LA because they all tried to be close to Tom Brady in the off season to just in case he wanted to throw balls to someone, they would run over and be that guy. And that would get in his good graces. And so they were living by UCB and it was really weird. He showed up that night.
That is crazy. Yeah. To Herald Night or a different show?
Herald Night. Yeah.
That's so Herald funny. Night.
Yeah.
I also didn't know Tom Brady lived around Beechwood or in
No, Brady is in like the probably Herald. In like the Palisades or something. Yeah. But they were on Beechwood to be in LA. They probably did the thing of like, oh, that's Los Angeles. That'll be close to another place in Los Angeles. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're like me, they're like, I don't know where I want to live. Close to UCB?
Yeah.
So it's probably that.
It's probably Herald fans. I was like very early on Harold, like we were a couple months in, and we used to do like a living roomy opening, right? So we'd come out and you'd be kind of like, you could see the whole audience and do it. And Margot Robbie was in the front row. And this was shortly after Wolf of Wall Street had come out. So she was like this big, you know, such a big star, like the distractingly beautiful. I think I almost did nothing in that whole show because I was so just like, oh, Margot Robbie's there.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? I can't biff this because that will mean a lot for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
otherwise, I have a shot. Otherwise, I have a great
shot. It truly is the dream. Like, if you're ever going to be able to get a chance with Margot Robbie, it's going to be like her seeing you be really funny on stage. Like, that is the best in you have. I mean, maybe not for you, Drew, if you're a talented actor also, so...
It did cross my mind that, like, that... I don't think that would have even entered... I think for me, like, I wouldn't have even had the thought of, like, oh, I should try to impress Mark. Like, for Drew, I could see that being more nerve-wracking for Drew because it is, like, a plausible thing.
I don't think it was. It was not plausible. It was not plausible at all. But I was still hoping for it.
I mean, any celebrity that comes to the UCB, I'm like, whoa. Why are you here?
Why? Yeah.
You like underground? I guess it's not underground, but
what
like,
the hell?
What the hell? This is our place.
The dumbest one I had was that Steve Aoki was in the audience for ABC's Herald Night one time. Yeah,
he used to come a lot. I saw him a few times.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think there was this thing going around that like, there's always a thing where it's like this person's partner is taking classes, or their son is in a class show, and so they'll show up. But I think
which
that
is
was
why Jason
thing.
Alexander came to Harold Knight once.
Oh,
I think
my
his
God.
Son was on a mod or a mess hall team or something.
Yeah.
I would love to do comedy in front of Jason Alexander. I would be like, oh my God, it's fucking George.
Yeah.
He's like a legend to me.
Yeah, I'm sad because I know there's like a million like out there ones that I just can't remember right now, like because they were so random or weird, like not necessarily celebrities, just like weird people. That, yeah,
I think we did a Let's Party once that you, I think you were hosting it, Rose, and Billy Zane was in the audience. I remember like at midnight on a Saturday,
right?
You know, watching like a drunk and high improv show. It was kind of wild,
insane, just insane.
Waving his gun around, looking for his fiance.
Well, Dhruv and Greg, I think we've come to the end of our time, but thank you so much for being here. You guys are hilarious.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for having
always
us.
Always a pleasure.
So we've come to the end of Dhruv and Greg. Would you like? Oh, the show would have been way better. Dhruv, is there where people
thank
can...
Thank you, Casey Traila, for that song.
Don't drag his name through the mud like that. Dhruv, where can people find you, or what would you like to plug?
You can find me on Instagram at Dhruvuday Singh, my name. I would plug the work of Barry Bostwick, if there's any time for a good revival. Yeah, check him out, you know, good...
Performing. At Dhruvuday Singh on social media, and Barry Bostwick on television and maybe film as well, I'm sure. Greg, anything you'd like to plug or anywhere people can find you?
I'd like to plug the play of Barry Bostwick. You know, it's not all about work with him. Sometimes he's just, when he's just kicking back, that's the most fun time to watch.
It's the most Barry.
I'm at Gallant Greg on Twitter. I did a few seasons of a podcast called First Hand with Devin Field that all of these gentlemen were on once or twice, and it was delightful, and you can find that anywhere. And that's all I have to plug.
Awesome. Yeah, our listeners, I'm sure, know about First Hand, but if you're new to the podcast, you can listen to our episode with the hosts of First Hand, Greg and Devin, in our backlog.
Yeah, go listen to Dan and Ryan play the Winklevoss daddies.
Yes.
Nothing could possibly better tease that episode than just those words.
Thank you.
Gotta hear it.
Let's see. I think that's that. Patreon.com/YouTheManNowDog is where it's at. You can get full versions of all our episodes with extended scenes and deleted scenes, as well as video of all the episodes, and weekly two-man episodes with Ryan and I that are range from conversations to fully improvised new podcasts to improv scenes. So check those
out. What scene is going to get deleted from this episode?
We don't know. It's usually probably the last one, but I actually don't know. Brian picks, our editor. So do you know, Ryan? It's been a while since I've actually checked in on that.
I think we try to switch between sometimes it's the funniest scene and then sometimes it's not. Because we want to have some of the good stuff out there, but we also
want to reward the Patreon.
But that's good, because then if someone's scene becomes the deleted scene, they don't know if that's the compliment. They can say, oh, that must have been the week where they did the funniest one.
No, we'll say, though, we'll say, and this scene was deleted because it was the worst.
Go ahead and skip it if you're paying. All right, have a great day.
This 45 seconds of patter is the deleted scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth $5 a month. Thanks again, guys. Great to see you, and thanks for listening, everybody. Bye
bye.
Bye.